Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, a very somber morning here at AM 560 and across Chicago as we lose two more of our own, two Chicago police officers killed in the line of duty. It happened at 6 o'clock last night in the Rosemore neighborhood. Two police officers, 37-year-old Eduardo Marmolejo and 31-year-old Conrad Gary, were chasing. There was reports of a gunman in the area, and they ran to the tracks to the area near 101st Street on the south side and were killed by a South Shore line train. Marmolejo, father of three, and Conrad Gary has an infant son. Both were officers were married, and Johnson said that they were working as partners Monday night, but not sure if they were regular partners. Mike Scott's joining us with more information about this. Do they have the gunman yet in custody or the person who started this whole ordeal?
That's unclear. They're questioning a person of interest is all they will say at this point.
And there's this procession, which you can see live. Can you have any information about that that's going on right now?
Well, they're rolling up the Dan Ryan, which and they've gone past the 5th District, I understand. They're rolling up the Dan Ryan. They're heading, as is typical, to the morgue at this moment after the investigation cleared the tracks on the south side. It is rolling, so when you're finding yourself in the middle of this traffic crawl, just know that it's temporary. When the police vehicles clear the area, the roadway, in this case specifically the Dan Ryan, and the overpasses on and off ramps over the Dan Ryan will be open as soon as the police procession passes.
And it's been just an immensely difficult year for the Chicago Police Department. We had Paul Bauer was killed right outside of the Thompson Center. We had Jimenez,
Sam
Jimenez was killed at Mercy Hospital.
Right.
And now these two police officers. And it couldn't come at a worse time. It is Christmas when we're supposed to be celebrating with family and friends, and they're killed in the line of duty.
Well, and not only that, the 5th District has had two suicides in the parking lot. I think, if I remember my number correctly, three overall this year with CPD, but two in the parking lot alone at the 5th
District.
So that itself, and these were, as I understand it, I'm looking for more information to confirm, but these were 5th District officers as well.
Marmolejo just on the force for 2 years,
yep.
And Conrad Gary Bruce joined 18 months ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, our hearts go out to their families, and they were a heroic young man. Mayor Emanuel spoke last night, said, I'm out of words. I don't know what else to say. And then Superintendent Johnson spoke as well, and we'll have that audio for you when it becomes available. But it's going to be a difficult period of time for the Chicago Police Department family. We have to measure up and remind that they're a part of all of our families and all that they do, and there's no words really to express our grief and sense of loss.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
And again, those two police officers were chasing a suspect. They did recover a gun at the scene. Yeah. Bruce, what do you?
Hey, what do you say?
No, that you said they recovered a gun.
No, they recovered
the scene
a gun at
the
scene.
Tracks,
yeah,
and they're
right. And they're talking to a suspect.
And again, the live procession for the two officers going on right now on the south side on the Dan Ryan. We will keep you posted and let you know if anyone is charged in the deaths of these two Chicago police officer. Speaking of police, I don't know if you saw this, Bruce, but oh, by the way, Bruce Wolf in.
Hi,
for
good
Dan
morning.
Proft. Good morning. What time did you get here? Because you got to set up the board if you get here early.
Noticed that you're. I don't want to turn this into a technical workshop, as Eddie would have said. But yeah, you're.
Well, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning, and got this the text message, and then my friend who's a police officer texted me, and haven't been able to sleep since because it's so disturbing. Yeah. These were such young police officers just doing their job, and they get hit by a train. I mean, it's just awful.
Now, it's interesting that, you know, purely from a legal standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, you said should somebody be charged?
Well, they will be charged with a double homicide, probably involuntary manslaughter.
I don't know about that.
Well, what do you think?
Well, because
if you're chasing, help me out here. If you're chasing a suspect with a gun and you get hit by a train, that person will be charged with murder.
I don't know. I'm not a criminal law expert, but I just wonder about that because I don't know that that would be the charge. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but a police officer wrote an open letter to a speeding teen that he caught going 100 miles per hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. Did you see this?
No.
It was in North Ridgeville, Ohio. He wrote on Facebook to this teen, "You seemed like a really nice kid who made a bad decision. I don't feel bad about this ticket at all. In fact, I'm proud of it. I hope you're paying it off for months, and with every payment, you think about what or how it wasn't worth it. I hope you slow down." The note instantly went viral and has been shared, by 65,000 times.
What is the fine at going 100 in a 45 zone?
It's $200.
That's not a lot.
You don't think so?
I mean, it should be more.
It should be more, but
to go 55 miles an hour over the speed limit?
No, yes, but he went on to say, that you could have died. And not only did I save your life by pulling you over, I saved the life of an innocent person that you might have killed.
You know what the worst punishment is for when you get a ticket for speeding? Because I got one a few months ago.
Oh, my God. I cannot even imagine you getting pulled over. You're probably were you? What did you do?
I immediately,
fetal position?
I confessed to every crime in the world that I never committed.
Hands on the dash, or what did you do?
I do a whole sympathy for the devil thing after I killed the Kennedys, all that stuff. Because it's my fault, officer. But the punishment is, so you get to, go to traffic school.
Right.
Oh my God. That is the worst torture. I'd rather be waterboarded than go to traffic school because they make you sit through something, and they got all these markers there where you got to show that you read it and you have to take the test. It's basically a car is a vehicle, an internal combustion engine, driven by an internal combustion engine, and it has four tires. It breaks it down to the most simple things, but it's drip, 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 drip for
how many hours?
It seemed like an eternity. It was probably like 5 hours.
Well, what were you doing? How fast were you going? And
I was going, according to the police, I was going about 45 in a 30 zone. Okay. And it was near a school. It was after school hours. All right. And I confess, I was really rocking to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I must have just hit the pedal a little heavy. Plus, you have to understand, I was delivering flowers at the time for my wife's flower business.
Oh, that's right. So, she's a florist.
Wait,
weren't you used to be in the llama business?
Yeah, we've been in
or alpaca, I mean?
Alpacas, right.
Did you make any money off the alpacas? Dan wanted me to ask you that.
That's none of your damn business.
Dan wanted me to ask you.
Wait, Dan actually asks about me?
It was the first time in 5 years I've worked with him he actually asked me to ask you a question. I'm not kidding you. So I think we're making progress.
How about the next year? Maybe he'll ask, "How's Bruce doing? How's he doing?"
Maybe. Maybe he won't.
I don't know. I actually think, counselor, that there are mitigating circumstances to driving 45 in a 30 when September is playing.
Yeah,
I think that might be in the state combined statutes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Body up. No.
That song has so many Chicago ties, it's not even funny.
And you know what's really embarrassing is when you get nailed and the cop is looking at you and you're still singing.
Yeah,
I know. Because I get embarrassed when you're singing a song on a radio and you pull up to a stoplight and you know there's somebody next to you. Don't you kind of just like, you don't suddenly stop singing. You kind of just slowly ease into stopping like... you know, nobody's noticing that.
You just imagine yourself, though, in that suit that Philip Bailey's wearing.
Oh, yeah.
And the and it's right here, and you well, think you've got a chest, and, you know, it's
well, what
perfect.
Town were you in?
I was in, is that like, I forgot what town, is that like Wadsworth or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing
and you
is,
couldn't
is,
talk your way out of it?
In the
you
hustings.
You couldn't flash those baby blues of yours?
You know, I tried to
Hello.
Do it with the long lashes and the hair that is still brown at my age.
Yes.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. It didn't work with the Ossifer. I didn't even try to do that. Do you ever get a ticket when you're speeding?
No, I
can't
have.
Imagine
I got
you
a ticket
getting a
in El Paso
ticket.
And I had to go to comedy school. It was at Zany's. I'm not even kidding you. I'm
Why
not, you can't
comedy
make this.
School?
It was a comedy driving school, so a comedian teaches.
Oh. Well, at least it might have been
the class. It was 8 hours. It was awful,
oh
just like you had to go through. And I did it for insurance purposes because I didn't want my insurance rate to grow.
Right.
But back to this letter, because I actually have the letter now. He wrote to the kid, I can tell you dozens of stories of dead and broken 18-year-old bodies that I've pulled from cars. Broken bones that I found in front yards after crashes. Oh, my God. Unrecognizable bodies that they thought they were invincible, too. They weren't. They were gone, so they missed the part where I had to tell their parents that they were dead. Part of your soul disappears every time you have to tell parents that their kid is dead.
I got to tell you one
well,
thing.
Well, do you think that kid's ever going to speed again?
No, he won't. But I got to tell you, it's that same reckless spirit.
Oh, my gosh.
It's that same reckless spirit that we key into when we get volunteers for the Army who are willing to go into firefights and think that they don't realize that how easy it is for a body to break. I, of course, do. I very much realize that. I don't know what got into me, officer. I was just lucky that I was singing that, because had I been singing Michael McDonald, Taking It to the Streets, I probably would have been going 100 in that 35 zone.
The letter ends, you seemed like a really nice kid who made a bad decision. I don't feel bad about this ticket at all. In fact, I'm proud of it. And he said, slow down, please. You are not invincible. I promise, because I know.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Bad boy Bruce Wolf and the Hizzos, Leadfoot. That's exactly though what you know. Dan Prof does. He's got a problem with speeding.
Oh, I
often see him being, he's in a fast car, but if I'm going 80, he's got to be going 100.
Okay, one time.
He passes me and shakes my used minivan.
Here's the classic. I drove in a car one time with Dan, okay?
And
I'm in the passenger seat.
Well, yeah, I hope you weren't on his lap, okay?
Well, later, you know, he had a couple of drinks.
I
nursed the blue moon. But I'm in the passenger seat, and he notices that I'm hitting the phantom brake. I'm the driver's ed teacher. My right foot, I'm like hitting the brake, you know, involuntarily reacting. And he must have been going 37 in a 30 zone. I mean, he wasn't really going that fast, but I get nervous that way. And he noticed that I was doing that.
And what did he do?
Well, I mean,
hit the gas even harder.
That was the end.
Hey, join us in our Food for the Poor campaign. We're getting closer. Our goal is to provide food for a year, water for life for 3,000 children in Haiti. And the best way to become, to help those less fortunate is to become a business benefactor. And what is that, Bruce?
Well, I'll tell you know, we have this special program for business owners.
Tell us about this, but take your time. We haven't told
anyone involved in marketing a business. It's called the Business Benefactor Program. With this program, any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor will receive 40 60-second commercials Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. on AM 560. The answer for a business that wants to be involved in this program, here's how you can do it. Call sales manager Anjanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
Thank you. People are, you know, signing up. Joseph & Sons Mechanical, Inc., Kevin Dougherty Insurance, which I just butchered that name, Anderson Concrete Plumbing, many, many more on this list, and you want to become a business benefactor. If you have any questions, again, call Anjanette at 847-472-8951.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
You want more than just the headlines? Find out what's going on and what it means with me, Dennis Prager, this morning at 11, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning. As Mike Scott just mentioned, those two police officers who were chasing a suspect on the south side near 103rd and Cottage Grove, who were killed by a train last night, they are reaching the Cook County Morgue as we speak. 37-year-old Eduardo Marmolejo, father of three, on the force for 2.5 years. He was with his partner, 31-year-old Conrad Gary, and Gary had been on the force for just 18 months.
You know a lot about the police. It's interesting to me that they've been on the force for such a little amount of time, and they're in their 30s or mid-30s. Is this common that police officers start
at a later date?
Some of them go to college,
obviously. Some serve in a branch of the military and then come back, and it's a natural fit for them to be police officers. Yeah. We don't know if either of these officers did that or took that route, but here's Superintendent Eddie Johnson.
By doing the most dangerous thing any police officer can do, and that is to chase an individual with a gun. These brave young men were consumed with identifying a potential threat to their community and put the safety of others above their own.
And they know every police officer who goes to work every day and says goodbye to their family, you know, it's a risk that they take that they might not be coming home.
Unfortunately, we swear that oath, put on that uniform, we know that's a possibility.
So our thoughts and prayers go out to those family members who just left their loved ones and to the whole Chicago Police Department family. One person is being questioned by police, and they did recover a weapon at the scene. This is on 103rd Street, you know, the South Shoreline that goes by there. And the South Shoreline was shut down for hours, and they actually questioned every single person on that train. They were on that train for 2.5 hours before they were able to leave. So, again, the procession, which always, you know, brings a tear to everyone's eye. It's just beautiful. People come out of their homes and stand on the procession line to wave goodbye to these two officers who are just trying to catch a suspect with a gun.
This, I think it goes without saying, is going to be a difficult period of time for the Chicago Police Department family. We as a city have to measure up and remind them that they're part of our family. There are no words that can express the grief, the sense of loss. This knocks you back on your heels. I think it's really important that we put our arms around the Chicago Police Department and hold them up and support them at this critical juncture.
And our good friends at the 100 Club, Joe Ahern, we partner with them. We have been for the last 3 years for our golf tournament to help them, and they provide immediate assistance to those family members. So they will go there today with a check. The kids that are there, they will pay for their college education. So the 100 Club of Chicago, we're efforting Joe Ahern for later in the show so he can talk about this difficult process. And if people want to help out, they can always donate to the 100 Club. All right, moving on. Patty Blagojevich was on with Martha McCallum from Fox News. And you know why I know about it? Because President Trump tweeted about it and said that required television watching, Martha McCallum interview with the wonderful wife, he used the word wonderful, Rod Blagojevich. He didn't mention anything, though, about clemency or possibly, you know, commuting his sentence. But it is a sliver of hope for Patty Blagojevich, who went on to talk about the similarities between President Trump's situation with now that they're in, you know, they're investigating his inaugural committee fund. And what happened to her husband?
Prosecutors, with their unchecked power and no oversight on them at all, can go after any politician they want. And so, they say people, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And all they have to do is look back at what they did to my husband 10 years ago to see what they're doing to President Trump right now. These same prosecutors, the same political assassins, I like to call them, are taking legal fundraising contributions and legal requests for fundraising and turning them into something that is, they're trying to say are crimes, and they're non-existent crimes.
And I didn't,
Anytime that Patty quotes Santayana, my ears perk up. She's such an unsavory character.
Do you think?
She's horrible.
I think she's
wonderful.
I think
she's cute. I'm attracted to her. There's no question about it. She's cute. the dress that she wore to the sentencing hearing.
We,
you could die. It's just wonderful. But the thing is. Mike, they're so sleazy.
No, they're not, because campaign fundraising is not a crime, and that's what she...
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me.
It's not.
Yeah, if she's begging the question. It's not campaign fundraising that what he was convicted of. That's to slur the jury. That's to slur the court. That's to slur the appellate court. Mm-hmm. Judge Easterbrook on the Seventh Circuit carefully scrutinized this case, and there's a difference between horse trading and what happened here. The real issue is Rod Blagojevich deserved to spend 14 years in the clink.
He's already spent 7 years behind bars. And it's the same cast of clowns who are going after President Trump that went after Blago.
It's the same people, Mueller, Comey, and Patrick Fitzgerald. It's the same group that went after my husband. They were successful going after my husband and locking him up and throwing him away the key. And because no one stopped them from doing that to my husband, now they're going after a bigger target. And they've been emboldened because they got away with it with my husband. They, you know, undid an election, going after somebody that they didn't like for some reason, and used every means within their power to do it.
All right, so the question is, should President Trump commute his sentence and pardon him before the holidays? 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Don't laugh. Comey's personal attorney is Patrick Fitzgerald. Look, I mean, these guys are all in bed
you
together.
You don't have to lecture me
about Patrick Fitzgerald
because he allegedly withheld exculpatory evidence in the Scooter Libby case. And I recommend that you read Arthur Herman's piece in Commentary Magazine about that.
Well, I was at an event once with Patrick Fitzgerald, and Mayor Daley was there, and I sat next to Patrick Fitzgerald, and I swear, all eyes in the whole place were staring at us. Everybody.
Were they staring at you, or are they staring
at
Patrick Fitzgerald?
No, they were wondering, why is she sitting next to him eating dinner?
Did he have a musky smell?
No, and his wife was there, or girlfriend, I can't remember. I mean, it was nothing, you know, there's no nefarious going on. I was just talking to him, and we didn't talk. We were just talking sports and kept it very light, the conversation. But anyway, back to Patty. She's, you know, President Trump, she's like, they're not going to stop until they get you those three clowns.
Didn't they just announce a new investigation into his campaign funds? So I think that they just keep digging and digging and digging, and they keep putting pressure on people that are close to the president, just like they did to us. They find your friends and your associates. Mm-hmm. They find people that are close to you and that are have committed wrongdoing that's unassociated with you, and they put pressure on them to say whatever they want them to say.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If her husband weren't in jail right now, she would be at the forefront of vivisecting Donald Trump as a good Democrat, as the daughter of the good old number 33 alderman,
I think
Richard
the Republicans
Mel.
Now, I honestly do think, and let me tell you why I think the Republicans, because she said to Martha McSally.
Sure.
She said, you know, he is our president now. I'll never forget the kindness that he showed my daughters. I'll always appreciate it. He's our president now, and I hope he succeeds. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and but if her husband weren't in jail, she would be going after Trump just like all the other Democrats are.
No, I don't think
so. She's a very transactional
person. No, because Trump hired Rod Blagojevich. He was on Celebrity Apprentice, and then she was on one of those reality TV shows, too. But the big question, Martha asked her, will your husband be pardoned?
I know the president's a very busy man. He's got a lot on his plate. I think that, you know, we have a petition for clemency into the president. We hope and pray, you know, this will be, you know, we won't have to go another holiday season without him. You know, the president's about justice and fairness, and you know, we hope that he looks at Rod and sees how unfair and unjust
hard to believe
it's been done to our family.
It happened 10 years ago.
And Martha McCallum did a great job, but I would have preferred an interview with Chuck Gowdy at Channel 7, who asked at Rod's farewell conference, he asked Patty, will you stick with him? The most
inappropriate
question ever asked. Chuck Gowdy,
but you still
a
love
shock
it.
Jock I yeah. love. Now, I would have preferred an interview with her right now. How many conjugal visits have you had with him? How many times have you done it over the last 7 years? What do you think the over-under
Bruce,
is?
I don't care about
these are the questions Chuck Gowdy.
Life.
Chuck Gowdy cared about it. He's at the news station of record, which is Channel 7. Cheryl Burton, a luminary like her, who can almost read the teleprompter.
I'm just hoping that President Trump does the right thing and pardons Blago.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
It's not going to be a very Merry Christmas for one man, Les Moonves. He's not getting a dime. Oh, poor baby. Of the $120 million in his severance package
he's
that he was supposed to get.
He's been putting a nutcracker, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, I like what you did there. And more women are coming forward. So basically what happened, CBS had hired two different law firms to investigate his bad behavior. And guess, you know, the investigators went to his house, asked for his iPad. And guess what he did, Bruce? He gave him his son's iPad.
Now that's chutzpah.
And
then he would try to get away with that.
Yeah, hey, son, hey, buddy, hey, can I borrow that for a second? Thanks. Here, take mine. He then deleted text messages, and some of the text messages he deleted was him trying to silence another accuser. 17 women in all, and four worked at CBS.
I think everyone's...
That they said that he, you know, he claims, oh, it was consensual. No, it wasn't consensual. It was, they all claim that he forced himself on them.
Isn't
he just stuck his tongue in my mouth? I was really shocked, and it was gross. It was very unappealing.
Isn't everyone entitled to 17 free gropes? That's what I...
No, thank you. Right. That woman, he apparently, you know, tried to grope back in the 80s when he was in Hollywood working for...
In the 80s, it was okay. 70s, no. Definitely.
The 70s, it was okay?
Yeah, Woody Allen, you know, now getting accused of consorting with a 16-year-old. But he didn't know her age at the time. He knew she was in high school. And remember, it was the 1970s when free love was abounding.
So that made it okay?
It was a different era. It was a tawdry, awful era, but it was a different era. Yes.
See? So one of the ladies...
Sanford and Son? Is that Sanford?
That was hired at CBS that he groped was apparently hired to be there to take care of his sexual needs.
Well, then what's she complaining about? That's her job description.
Well, the question, what people at CBS knew and said, why isn't she getting fired? What, you know, what is she actually doing here? And she was making six figures and she was taking care of it.
She cut quite a nice figure.
But here's the thing. And Justin, if you can find the soundbite with Julie Chen, Julie Chen from The Talk. Yeah. Formerly of The Talk, because she retired.
She lost her job after?
No, she didn't. She quit. And her goodbye on The Talk, which we'll get here for you, is hysterical knowing what we know now.
Yes.
Because not only did she stick by him for the show Big Brother, she changed her name in the credits to Julie Chen Moonves. Mm-hmm. So I wonder now if she's going to stick with him now that this report came out, now that...
Well,
he's out $120 million.
She's out $60 million in the divorce settlement right now.
Well,
she could have gotten $60 million in that.
That's true. All right, here's Julie Chen saying goodbye.
Most important, I want to thank you, the viewers, for allowing me into your home every day. It was a privilege that I will forever be grateful for. To everyone behind the scenes, I send you my love. I will miss you all. Very, very much.
I love you, man.
To Eve, you're the newest one at the table, but I feel... And I know this show and the sisterhood it stands for will live on for many, many, many more years to come. You ladies got this, and I cannot be more proud to call you my friends.
And then Hoda and Kathy Lee came out and gave her a big hug. Because it's not about just CBS, it's NBC as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Paula Faris from ABC came out as well.
I have been at The Talk since the day it started 9 years ago, and the cast, crew, and staff have become family to me over the years. But right now, I need to spend more time at home with my husband and our young son.
Whipping him into shape!
So I've decided to leave The Talk.
I wasn't enough for
you. I want to thank everyone at the show for the wonderful years together. I will always, cherish the memories we shared.
But I mean, it just reminds me, you know, Hillary standing by Bill, and now... She's still standing by her husband. Ladies, can I give you some advice?
Well, I mean...
Get out of that relationship.
Well...
First of all, she's got to be checked now for venereal diseases, HIV, everything, the whole gambit.
Like they ever had sex.
Yeah, they have children. They've had sex.
Three times.
Anywho, she needs to get checked. I mean, this is the reality of what happens when your husband cheats on you. You have to get checked for the diseases. You have to go in with your tail between your legs and to your gynecologist, like, it happened. Because they understand, because they're there. And then this public, now the public knows that his people were hired just to please him sexually.
You know, when is there a rebuttable presumption right now that if you're in a position of power like that, and you're a man, I mean, that great a position, mm-hmm. that you are a sexual predator? I think at this point there is that presumption.
The CBS, I think, knew about
Notice
his bad
that
behavior
I'm the
before,
beta male
and they should
in
have
this, relationship.
No, they right? should have never have hired him in the first place because I think that they knew what was going on.
You know what? Without Les Moonves,
yeah,
there is no Everybody what? Loves Raymond. There is no Walter Cronkite. The CBS I believe he was responsible mm-hmm. for creating. So you got to take the good with the bad. I mean, Mozart was an enfant terrible. A terrible infant.
Do you think people will finally learn their lesson?
No.
Men in powerful positions?
No.
Do you think they'll stop now that, you know?
You got to take the.
Weinstein's gone. Moonves is gone.
Roger Ailes.
Roger, well, he's.
He's dead. He's dead.
I can't wait to see that movie. Nicole Kidman plays Gretchen Carlson.
Oh, there's a movie.
Yeah,
and
Charlize Theron plays Megyn Kelly.
Who plays Roger Ailes?
Bob
Bell, I believe. The late Bob Bell.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning. A somber morning here at AM 560. The Answer, we have lost two more Chicago police officers, 37-year-old Eduardo Marmolejo, father of three, and 31-year-old Conrad Gary. They were both hit by a train last night while chasing a suspected gunman. There is a person that police are questioning. They have recovered a gun from the scene, and their two bodies were taken from the railroad to the medical examiner's office. And we are going to have Joe Ahern from the 100 Club because he will be helping out both of those families today. They do a great job. They go to the houses of the survivors, the wives, because both of these men left behind children. Gary left behind an infant. They'll go to the houses and with a check ready to hand to them so that they can help with finances, with the funeral and everything else. So, again, we'll have Joe Ahern on from the 100 Club later on today. Making news yesterday, Bruce Wolf, by the way, thank you for coming in.
It's good to be here.
Hey, it's good to have you here. James Comey, well, he unloaded on Republicans because they called him to testify for a second time. Congressman Jordan from Ohio, the wrestler, said that they called him back because Comey
Whatever
said...
Whatever happened to that thing with Jordan and the wrestling thing? He got off on that.
Yeah, nothing ever happened.
No, remember he was
right. Gonna... He half Nelsoned his way out of it. Everything's fine.
It was pretty good. He wriggled his way out of that one. 2 points.
Well,
for him.
Congressman Jordan said that they called him back because Comey said, "I don't know and I don't recall 245 times." Well, James Comey did not like being called back and had some sharp words for the Republicans and for President Trump.
So another day of Hillary Clinton's emails and the Steele dossier. This, while the President of the United States is lying about the FBI, attacking the FBI, and attacking the rule of law in this country, how does that make any sense at all? Republicans used to understand that the actions of a president matter, the words of a president matter, the rule of law matters, and the truth matters. Where are those Republicans today? At some point, someone has to stand up and in the face of fear of Fox News, fear of their base, fear of mean tweets, stand up for the values of this country and not slink away into retirement, but stand up and speak the truth. I find it frustrating to be here answering questions about things that are far less important than the values of this country.
Stop
built
the
upon.
Filibuster.
Well, what Republican lawmakers
toy.
Is he
this guy
talking
is,
about?
As Dan Proft would say,
what?
This guy is a suck toy of sanctimony. I mean, give me a break. The dossier? Oh, another round of the Clinton emails in the dossier. Oh, because it doesn't matter when the federal government spies on an innocent citizen. No, that doesn't matter at all. He doesn't even, he answers, I don't know, 245 times about this dossier, which was funded by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party, as I like to call it.
Well, according to Congressman Jordan, Comey didn't know much about Christopher Steele, the guy who used his work product, the dossier, to get the warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. So I don't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. And he had some choice words for President Trump's rhetoric and what he's calling Cohen.
What impact does it have when the president calls Michael Cohen a rat, someone who's cooperating with an investigation and questions how his office was raided by the FBI?
It undermines the rule of law. This is the president of the United States calling a witness who has cooperated with his own Justice Department a rat.
Yeah.
Say that again to yourself at home and remind yourself where we have ended up. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is about what does it mean to be an American? What are the things that we care about above our policy disputes, which are important? There's a set of values that represent the glue of this country, and they are under attack by things just like that.
So, Mr. Comey,
we have to stop being numb to it. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you need to stand on your feet, overcome your shame,
and say something. Shut up, you sick, I got kicked in your nuts. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Sorry,
I've had a hard day.
312-642-5600 is our turnkey debt pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
You know,
I think your head just exploded.
It did.
It did.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I hate when I lose it that way. The remember the McClatchy report about Prague, Cohn being in Prague to get a payment or pay off, you know, because the Russian collusion? Whatever happened to Prague? It's gone. It's zeroed out. There's nothing there. There's no Russian collusion. They set Flynn up. He's going to be sentenced today to zero time in prison.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that at 6:36 with Celine Zito about Michael Flynn being, you know, kind of cornered, I think, because I didn't realize he didn't have an attorney with him. And I didn't realize that they were asking him yes or no questions. They went to his office at the White House and Peter Strzok was there. Didn't know that.
You know,
yesterday,
Judge Napolitano, Count Napolitano, I'd like to call him, because his hair is all the way back. So Count Napolitano said, well, you have to understand that he's not entitled to his Miranda rights regarding this because he wasn't in custody. Yes, that's true, Judge. But as Judge Jeanine said yesterday with her cute little dimple, she pointed out, sure, he wasn't in custody, but the government tried to seduce him into not using an attorney. If you affirmatively say, hey, you don't really need an attorney here, then that's kind of hinky, too. Maybe he doesn't have a right to an attorney, but you don't tell him, oh, you don't really need one. So, it was a whole sucker play on the part of the feds.
Yeah. Back to Comey, though. 312-642-5600 is our turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment, because after he was calling out certain politicians, but stopping short of saying their names, calling out Republicans who are saying are just being cowards and just retiring instead of standing up for Trump. But I was thinking, you know, Senator Flake, I don't think Senator Flake is just quietly going away. He stood up to President Trump, and Bob Corker has said some things to stand up to President Trump. But then he ripped on Fox News, and Catherine Herridge from Fox News asked a question about the FBI's reputation.
Director Comey, the FBI's reputation has taken a big hit over the last year. Do you share any of the responsibility for that?
No. The FBI's reputation has taken a big hit because the President of the United States, with his acolytes, has lied about it constantly. And in the face of those lies, a whole lot of good people who watch your network believe that nonsense. That's a tragedy. That will be undone eventually, but that damage has nothing to do with me.
But then she asked another question, and I'm watching at home thinking, is there ducks? Are ducks around there? Just listen to this, Bruce.
Give me your question. Next level down. What do you mean?
No, I mean the Domestic Investigations Operations Guide is the roadmap for investigations for all agents. And there is a special section for sensitive matters and individuals. And I'm wondering if you feel comfortable that your handling of Flynn was completely consistent with that.
I do. Very much so.
If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, maybe it is a sanctimonious suck toy.
What?
Well, maybe, you know, I guess they're not in the swamp. They're in the pond.
No, yes. I think that somebody's out there, and anytime a person from Fox asks a question, they have that duck sound noise because they're trying to drown them out. But nobody addressed the duck in the room.
It's
nobody
probably Jim Acosta. Duck noise. It's probably Jim Acosta there with his duck noise.
So yeah. Where does Comey go from here? He's on his book tour, we know. He's trying to sell a book. But the former FBI director calling the president a liar.
I think he goes to the WNBA. He's a tall drink of water.
Well, yeah, he's 6'6".
Can he dunk?
I don't know. I don't care.
6'8". He's 6'8". Yes. Catherine Herridge should have just kneed him right in his groin right there.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560.
Christmas. Hey, we haven't worked on our Christmas song.
Oh, my God.
What are we going to do?
We could. How about we come up with words to this Charlie Brown Christmas song right here? Oh, there are words to it.
Are there words? Yeah. No, there aren't words. Are there words?
Oh, yeah. Christmas time is la-la-la.
Sorry, I asked.
La-la.
Saturday Night Live, they did a little spoof on It's a Wonderful Life. And they
like,
did,
who hasn't?
Well, they did a spoof. It's a Wonderful Life where President Trump was never president. Hillary Clinton was.
Wait, so Hillary is president?
That's right. In this reality, all she had to do to win was visit Wisconsin once.
But did they find her emails?
They did. They were all Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
Hello, Father.
Oh, my sons, my boys, Don Jr. and Eric. Eric, is that a Rubik's Cube? And finito.
That's Italiano for finished.
What the hell is happening with Eric?
Well, since Eric doesn't run the entire Trump organization, he was able to attend adult education classes.
Uh-huh. Merry Christmas, Father. Or as they say in Spanish, Feliz Nasty Dad.
Trump didn't like the parody, especially the part about Melania.
Donald, so nice to see you. How are you?
Melania, what happened to your accent?
Oh, I lost it after we got divorced. They said being around you all the time was hurting my language skills.
Well, you're still smocking hot. Huh? Are you holding
it
okay?
Oh, yeah. I have a huge real estate empire now. I figured, you know, if Donald can do it, anyone can do it. And I'm happily remarried to Papa John.
And who is this woman?
Oh, don't you recognize her? This is your new wife, Hernia.
She was a suitcase girl in the Serbian version of Deal or No Deal.
It's called Potato or No Potato.
You know, I actually enjoy those sketches because they're sophomoric. Uh-huh. I love the sophomoric humor. What I can't stand about Saturday Night Live, of course, is when Colin Jost, that smug, snide...
Colin Jost,
the Weekend Update guy, that smug, snotty little guy, accuses Brett Kavanaugh of being a liar and really can't back it up because everything that Kavanaugh said was the truth. And my problem with Saturday Night Live, of course, is this Pete Davidson character who is known for being the son of a fireman who died at 9/11, was Ariana Grande's
fiancé, right.
And he had apologized to that one-eyed congressman, and then over the weekend he had some kind of tweet or Instagram about being depressed, and he gets all this attention for all these various different things, and he's a bit player on Saturday Night Live. He's not
skits.
A big deal.
Well, they didn't have him in all of his skits because Lorne Michaels was concerned about his mental health.
Yeah, but he's
and
not
hoping
a
he
big
comes back.
Deal. He's well, out kicking his coverage.
He's
okay.
Funny.
But as far as this tweet, he's not on that much. He's not one of the big players.
No, he's not. But you did mention Kavanaugh, and Kavanaugh did show up in the skit.
Woo!
Matt Damon.
Brett Kavanaugh, how's the Supreme Court?
Me on the Supreme Court with my temperament? Are you insane? No, they went with that nerd Merrick Garland. But on the plus side, when I tell people I like beer, they find it charming and not like I'm threatening violence. Yeah. Plus, I have so much more time now to hang out with PJ and Squee and Needle Dick Nick. And no means yes, Nate.
Oh, hey, I brought a little present for you.
It's a calendar. And every day is a different beer.
Thank you, Brett.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's do this.
Will you play the part where Kate McKinnon is Christine Blasey Ford with the squeaky little girl, Valley Girl voice?
No, yeah.
You didn't play that clip. Where's that clip?
She was Kellyanne Conway.
Wasn't she Christine Blasey Ford? You're not allowed to make fun of Christine Blasey Ford, are you?
Obviously, Saturday Night Live's getting under President Trump's skin because he tweeted out, a real scandal is the one-sided coverage hour by hour of networks like NBC and Democratic spin machines like Saturday Night Live. It's all nothing less than unfair news coverage, and Democratic commercials should be tested in courts. Can't be legal, ?
So that's the great thing about Trump. Let's abolish the First Amendment because I am too sensitive and I can't take it that NBC is liberally biased. Okay. So let's get rid of the First Amendment.
I know. That's where he takes it a little bit
he always takes it too far. And then the great thing is that the liberals overreact to that. They always bite on this, and then they look even worse than he does. So whatever.
Like, there's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Jingle bell, jingle. We can do this one, maybe.
It's too easy.
Bell, jingle bell. Dancing and prancing.
Dancing, Donner and Vixen.
In the frosty air. Try different songs. I'm not in the Christmas spirit. I don't know why.
Well, today's a downer day.
Are you?
A Jew? Is that what you're saying? Are you a Jew in the Christmas spirit? My little Yiddish friend who comes up to my pupik. Because I'm such a tall drink of water. I'm an architectural wonder like the Eiffel Tower. People just take pictures of me.
Help us cross
I
the
learned
line
Silent and Night in second grade, okay? Because we were forced to.
We're supposed
in a
to
good
do a
Christian
food for the
school.
Poor here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, here we go. Silent Night, ready?
Yes. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round young Virgin Mother and Child.
We're rushing a little.
Holy infant, so tender and mild.
I'm never going to hit this note.
Sleep in heavenly
finish it off, man.
He's got to add the bass line.
Come on, Mike, sing.
I don't have the words in here.
You don't have the words. Second verse, same as the first. In the news today, Richard Speck was arrested by the Chicago police for the murder of nine student nurses. Eight student nurses, Corazon Aquino, survived, I believe.
Corazon Aquino, while she was...
The ninth student nurse.
Oh, my God. Do you remember her name?
Who doesn't remember the ninth student nurse from 1965?
But I think Corazon Aquino was once president of the Philippines. Standing on fact.
Are you saying I conflated Filipinos?
I think so.
All right. Maybe.
I think you're right. I think you're
Corazon
right.
Corazon Aquino was one
She's
time
She's not the
president.
One with the shoes. Is
no, that was Imelda Marcus.
That's Imelda Marcus. Why don't we Google that during the break?
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
You know this song, Bruce? Huh?
Let's see. Is that? That's the Selena song, right?
No, this is Selena song. This is Cardi B, right? Please say it is, or else I'm
lost.
No. Who is it? Just tell me.
Iggy Azalea.
Oh, Iggy Azalea. Iggy. How could I get that wrong?
No, they play this for the Masters all the time.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Azaleas are coming out.
Yeah. Welcome back to AM 560, The Answer. Today's the day, sentencing day, for Michael Flynn in a D.C. federal courtroom for lying to the FBI. But we're learning new information about the day that they went to the White House to interview Michael Flynn. And I'm articulating very much. Excuse me, sure. Bruce. But they asked him yes or no questions. I did not know that he did not have an attorney present. And there are people that saying he was forced into a confession.
Don't you think that it's at least possible that Flynn may have taken this plea because he was being bullied financially,
absolutely,
because he was afraid his family would be prosecuted, and he may have had a legitimate, he may have legitimately misremembered his conversation? He knew the FBI had transcripts. This is not a right. stupid guy. This is an American patriot. This is a hero
head
here.
Of the DIA.
A guy who understands right. intel.
Now, Mueller had said that he would be recommending no prison time, no jail time for Michael Flynn, but we'll find out later today. And with the latest on that and the possible government shutdown and Comey, let's go to Selena Zito, Washington Examiner reporter, New York Post columnist, CNN contributor, and author of The Great Revolt. Good morning, Selena, and welcome back.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. We're doing well. So what do you expect to happen today inside that D.C. federal courtroom?
That's a great question. I think people have taken different sides on this, as we do with everything in this country these days. And, you know, I honestly have no idea. I mean, based on some of the things that we've had leaked out about what happened with Flynn and how he was questioned, and Mueller indicating that there'll be no jail time. I'm leaning towards thinking that that's exactly what will happen and there won't be jail time. But, you know, you never know with these things. You never quite know what's going on inside the mind of the judge. And so I think, you know, any speculation and getting it right is just pure luck.
Selena, first of all, I want to tell you that this interview so far is meeting community standards, but watch it, because we want to be able to post this on Facebook later. That's a little Selena joke there.
Yeah,
she had a little problem a few months ago. You know,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But well, anyway, Selena, what we're hoping for is, you know, this right-wing bastion that, you know, you're on right now. We're hoping that the judge is going to say that there was prosecutorial misconduct. That's what we're going for. We know it's going to be zero jail time, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But you're right. And we don't know and what will happen, obviously. But, you know, whatever he's done wrong, whatever Flynn's done wrong, if he's done anything wrong at all, you know, I think what weighs in this decision is this is a man who has served his country and served it bravely. And I think that will be sort of in the mind of the judge when a decision is made.
What do you think of Comey yesterday browbeating our very own Catherine Herridge? Because I believe she's part of our
family. And also the President Trump saying he was a liar. Yeah,
but yet lecturing the entire universe, lecturing, you know, the Congress. You know, he's the only pure guy in the world, Jim Comey, who doesn't remember things 245 times and was leaking things and breaking protocol when he and making everybody laugh at that thing a few days ago, saying, oh, yeah, we were dealing with these rubes in the Trump administration. How does he get away with this?
Well, he doesn't get away with that. What he does is every time he opens his mouth, he shows his cards, right? You know, we understand more and more every time he speaks what of a God complex this man has.
Yeah, he thinks very highly of himself.
Yes, and, you know, I think at the end of the day, what Comey's legacy will be is that not many people on either side of the political spectrum like him, because, you know, he's also sort of not been loved by the left Only when he's saying, you know, disparaging things about the right. But, you know, they've had their moments not actually liking him as well. And I just think this guy just loves himself.
Right. Are we done with him, though, after this? I mean, this is his second time he was called up to the Hill, you know, for a closed-door meeting with lawmakers. Is this it now? Can we get him out of our lives is what I'm asking you, Selena.
he's sort of like, you know, the Brady Bunch, and every few years there was a special bringing them back. I don't know if we'll ever get rid of him because, you know, he just loves to be in the limelight. And if it's not him being forced into the limelight by, you know, like the Republicans, I think he'll find a way of inserting himself in the limelight because he just loves it way too much.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, he comes out there and he says, oh, yeah, the same old Hillary Clinton emails and the dossier. Well, yeah. Yeah, the dossier. You don't know how that was funded. You don't know that.
He doesn't know anything about Christopher Steele.
He doesn't know that it was a whole setup there. It was absolutely ridiculous. Been there, done that. The double standard between the way the Hillary Clinton investigation was run, where immunity was handed out like candy to all the attorneys, and then Michael Flynn is basically suckered in to not using an attorney. Yeah, he doesn't get his Miranda rights, but you don't say also affirmatively tell him, oh, yeah, you don't really need an attorney. That's seducing him.
Yeah, you know, this looks really that good. I just don't think Comey's going to go away because he doesn't want to go away. Yeah. You know, there are people in this world who have been thrust into the limelight who really don't particularly want to be there.
Yeah, right? He's like a bad boyfriend and that just won't go away.
Yeah, and once their moment is gone, they disappear. And some people say, oh, they're not famous anymore. And these people are thinking, yeah, because we never wanted to be. Well, that's not Comey.
Yeah.
You know, he likes this. And I think we will hear from him for the next 10 years of our lives, at least.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, he is pretty grandiose because the guy who would get up there, and of course he played it for all the dramatic effect it was worth when he got up there and decided that he himself was going to determine whether Hillary Clinton was going to be indicted or not. And he gets up there, and you notice the theatrical way he did it because he laid out these particulars against Hillary, which made it look like, oh, we're going to get her.
Right.
But then,
and then
oh,
he
so it's all dramatic. It's all for a dramatic effect, and because I remember liberals tweeting while that was going on, uh-oh, she's going to get it, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, he's just trying to lay it out.
I thought she was going to get it listening to it in the car.
I could tell that he was doing it that way, that he was, no, I'm going to lay out the case against her, but then I'm going to come in, because I know better than anyone else for the good of the country what needs to be done, even though I'm destroying all the protocol in the world, and Rod Rosenstein is going to say that I should have been dismissed for that and that alone, Selena.
Yeah. I mean, you just laid it out perfectly. I don't think
we're gonna
have at least a generation, not a generation, but at least a decade of him.
All right. So there seems to be no Christmas compromise when it comes to government funding Republicans and Democrats separated by a wall. Do you like how I did that?
Yeah.
So what are you hearing in D.C. or from your sources about? Is there going to be any compromise met? Are some of, you know, the workers going to be furloughed?
I don't think that the Democrats are in any mood for a compromise. And even though that's what their newest members ran on, not on this particular issue, but on issues in general. But their Democratic leadership is feeling very confident about themselves, and there's a lot of hubris going on and a lot of mandate things in their head going on. And I wrote a piece about this maybe 2 weeks ago, in that people that win, the parties that win, keep misunderstanding why people keep putting them in office and keep misreading their intent. Democrats think it's because voters like them more now, and want to have them to wield power. And voters think, no, we just want to put the brakes on the other guys and give you guys the keys for a little bit. And unfortunately, the Democrats don't have any stomach for compromise. So what I think will happen is that we will have a shutdown, and it'll go on for a while. And there will be no bending from the Democrats. And honestly, I'm not quite sure what the outcome will be. I think that's another sort of wait-and-see moment for us.
All right. You heard it here first. Selena Zito, thank you so much for joining us. Washington Examiner reporter, New York Post columnist, and CNN contributor, and also the author of The Great Revolt. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Tis the season for giving, and that is exactly what we are doing here at AM 560, The Answer. We're asking for a one-time donation of $80 that will feed a child for a year and provide clean water for life. But our biggest thing is our business benefactor, and that's where your company makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you 40 60-second commercials. To become a business benefactor, call Anjanette. What's the number, Bruce?
Well, her name, her full name is Anjanette Nikowski, of course.
Wow.
And,
stalker.
Yeah, I know that. And her telephone number is 847-472-8951. 847-472-8951. And ask for the business benefactor program.
Yeah, we have a few slots remaining. Viking Ski Shop in Chicago and Barrington. They're like the cool kids. They're a business benefactor. The Angler's Outlet. Elevator Consultants, just to name a few. But
how about CMT Research Foundation and Harding's Heavy Equipment?
How about that? But you want to...
How about Insure With Us and Matthew Hickey Law of Chicago?
How about Letting Me Talk? that was a joke, Bruce.
How about Palatine Complete Dental and AmericanEagle.com?
So you want to be on the Business Benefactor Program. Really, it's the best way to take your business to the next level. Call in, Jeanette, 847-472-8951.
How about Cafe Salsa?
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Amy Jacobson, Bruce Wolf here, sitting in for Dan Proft on this somber morning here in Chicago, as many of you waking up to learn that we've lost two Chicago police officers, 37-year-old Eduardo Marmolejo and 31-year-old Conrad Gary. They were both responding to shots fired in the 5th District and the Rosemore neighborhood, and they were pursuing a suspect who had a gun, and they were chasing him up the tracks when the unthinkable happened, and they were both hit and killed instantly by a South Shore Line train.
By doing the most dangerous thing any police officer can do, and that is to chase an individual with a gun, these brave young men were consumed with identifying a potential threat to their community and put the safety of others above their own. Unfortunately, we swear that oath, put on that uniform, we know that's a possibility.
Now, we know, again, that there is somebody that they are questioning. They did recover a gun at the scene, but heavy hearts this morning. And, Bruce, at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to speak with Joe Ahern, who is with the 100 Club, who will be visiting with their family members and presenting them today with a check. But with that, we want to introduce and welcome back to the program Paul Vallis. And the reason we bring this story up, Paul Vallis, his two sons are Chicago police officer, and his wife also works for Chicago police. Good morning, Paul, and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Amy. Actually, my wife was a suburban police officer, and my middle boy is a police officer in San Antonio, and my older boy, who was also a combat veteran, is a police officer in Wheeling. But nevertheless, I just want to say that on behalf of my family, our hearts go out to the families of the two Chicago police officers that were killed yesterday, as well as the entire Chicago Police Department, for whom it's been a very tragic year. And, you know, no words can adequately give comfort to the families, or for that matter, the police department. As a husband of a former police officer and the father of two, I really appreciate the sacrifices that these families make and the risk that these officers take every day. And it's just a tragic thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, you made some news yesterday, moving on, that you dropped your petition challenge against Gary McCarthy, but Preckwinkle forges ahead. She's still challenging the petitions of four women in the race, including Lori Lightfoot, who says this is just a waste of tax dollars. This is going to cost $1 million plus, and she thinks it will ruin the Christmas because people are going to have to work on Christmas Eve.
They're going to be working on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Tony Preckwinkle. We should just give her a bag of coal.
I mean, it got pretty nasty between the ladies. Here's here's Tony Preckwinkle.
You know, elections are very expensive. Would you argue that it's better to have authoritarian governments which don't cost anything?
So I know that this is going to be a very contentious race, 21 candidates. People are, so why did you drop your petition challenge against Gary McCarthy?
Well, first of all, you know, the whole process for getting on the ballot is pretty convoluted. And there's really no accountability when it comes to these signatures because the burden really falls on those who are going to challenge. We filed, I think, 45, I'm not sure, it was close to 45,000 of signature challenges on McCarthy's petitions that we felt clearly were not accurate enough. But, you know, we would be battling this for the next month, and you've got to hire people and pay people to go through these challenges literally one at a time. And we're kind of put at the end of the petition challenge list. I anticipated running against Rahm Emanuel and a bunch of candidates, and so we weren't planning on challenging anyone's petitions. But when we started looking at petitions, there were so many candidates who had just terrible petitions, from Daley to Chico to McCarthy, that we felt we needed to make a point. And what we're actually doing is we're going to put all of our information online. So if anybody wants to see what phony petition signatures look like, they can see them. But
I would love to see that.
Well, if you want to look at phony, if you want to look at phony petitions, look at what happened. John Cass, of course, explaining all this about what happened with the young Mr. Krupa, who is running in the 13th ward. And
who was on our program yesterday.
Yeah, and I, you know, with more revocation signatures than there were signatures in favor. And, you know, you see somebody like Mendoza, who, you know, is she speaking out against Madigan? I didn't notice that. You know, maybe that's an issue that can be taken for what it's worth.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I congratulate Cass for focusing on this issue. And look, Mendoza, like Preckwinkle and others, I mean, Mendoza's petitions are being challenged, quite frankly, because she doesn't have enough signatures. But the question is, the process for challenging can be so cumbersome and so expensive. You know, obviously, Preckwinkle has the resources to do that. And look, you know, you can't run for one office while you're pushing petitions for another one. So I think her problem getting enough signatures, where people were saying, aren't you running for comptroller? And
right.
I think she was surprised at how difficult, and her supporters were surprised at how difficult it was going to be to get people. I mean, you know, people are smart. You know, they're not fooled. And I think that's the reason why she submitted so few petitions or petition signatures, and why she's being challenged.
But I was just driving and I get all that. I was just driving at, you know, I'd like to see everybody's stand on young Mr. Krupa and, you know, what Madigan is doing, because, you know, are we going against the machine or aren't we? Or are we, you know, who's the machine creature? Is it Mendoza?
So let me respond to that question. You know, clearly Mendoza is, you know, the machine candidates come in various forms and sizes and ages, et cetera. I mean, so at the end of the day, clearly, I mean, she's got the support of many individuals in the organization, including many Emanuel supporters. But look, you know, I think Cass is right on target. And insofar as challenging the machine, I think yesterday was the 10th anniversary, I think, of Blagojevich getting getting indicted, and who ran against Blagojevich in 2001 after leaving the Chicago Public Schools, obviously because I had, you know, I in part because of tension between me and the mayor's office on a variety of things, and who challenged Blagojevich and who got the organization support. I mean, I'm running against candidates like Preckwinkle and Chico and Daly, none of whom supported me when I challenged the organization and the machine. And even though I got outspent 12 to 1, I lost by 1.5 percentage points. So,
and that's the only time in my life that my dad pulled a Democratic ballot was to vote for you.
And of course, you know, I understand the petition challenge against anybody, including McCarthy. Of course, there is no way in the world he can win if Rahm Emanuel bows out because of Laquan McDonald. McCarthy goes right under the bus with him, right? I mean, there's no way he can win.
Look, you know, the Laquan McDonald trial aside, McCarthy presided over the degradation of the Chicago Police Office Department. They didn't fill close to 2,000 vacancies. They gutted the detectives division from 1,200 to less than 700. Of course, now they're hiring back, but you've got the damage is already done, and you have probably the least experienced detectives division in history, and that's why the clearance rate on shootings dropped to 5%, and the clearance rate on murders less than 17%. So, you know, McCarthy was out there basically being the point person for the mayor. I don't even know why he's running, quite frankly.
Yeah, let's move over to Preckwinkle. I mean, yesterday she was asked, are you going to return that $13,000 donation from Ed Burke?
You know, we're considering what our response will be at the moment. Chairman Burke is under investigation, and that's where it stands. He's simply under investigation.
Is she? What is wrong with her? I would hand that money over 2 weeks ago, as soon as his office raided.
Yeah, sometimes there's just a level of arrogance that is just, that's what happens. Because there's never any real accountability, these people can continue to make these, I don't want to say ill-advised, if there's no accountability, I guess it's not ill-advised,
right.
But look, I mean, look at all the candidates who have entered the race after Emanuel dropped out. I think they've all gotten contributions from Burke. I've never gotten a contribution from Burke. But you know, what about the code of silence about Burke? I mean, you know, she talked about she had the arrogance to beat up police superintendent Johnson with this code of silence. You know, there were four cops in my family, including my dad's only sibling, who was a 36-year Chicago police officer. And, you know, this code of silence BS, that's a dog whistle when you really think about it. And instead of talking about what you're going to do to strengthen the police department, we're getting this code of silence rhetoric. What about the code of silence about Barrios and the assessment scandals at the Cook County Assessor's Office, or for that matter, the corruption in the city council all these years? You know, what about those codes?
Well, came out and said that she, in the first line of duty would be to fire him when she becomes mayor, but she's not going to become mayor.
Here's the thing. I love it, you can break the cone of silence about things like a constitutional amendment regarding pensions, because I regard Rahm Emanuel as the de facto top Republican in the state of Illinois right now. Because he comes out in favor of that. Are you in favor of a constitutional amendment switching the pension system around to make it more equitable?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get it because Pritzker has already said he does not support a constitutional amendment that in any way impacts pension benefits. What I've done, and I did it at the City Club about a month ago, is I laid out my strategy for addressing the pension funding issues while at the same time bringing some sanity to the city budget. So we're rebuilding the police department, and we're actually taking a portion of this tax increment financing monies and other city resources and investing them in areas of the city. 80% of the city has not experienced any sort of investment or economic development, significant economic development growth in decades. I mean, the city's lost 17% of its residential property value since the 2008 recession. So the bottom line here is, Pritzker has already put the kibosh on any kind of.
Yeah, but you could make a statement against Pritzker. You could make a statement against him. Rahm Emanuel has, you know, now that he's independent.
Well, I'm trying to offer solutions, not make statements against individuals.
And, you make the statement and then you settle for whatever you're going to get. But even it's going to be the same old, and that's why the city's going down the toilet.
Well, I'm running to change that. And if you look at what I've put out in terms of strengthening the police department, if you look at the position I've taken on the use of tax increment financing districts, or for that matter, the budget plan that I've laid out, which would in effect impose a cap on property tax increases and fines and fees, increases in fines and fees long term. I mean, I think I'm trying to challenge the status quo here, just as I attempted to challenge the status quo almost by myself when I ran against Robert Gorovitch.
Yep. Before we let you go, I know that you have been to Haiti several times, and we're in the midst of our annual Food for the Poor campaign and to raise money for kids who are less fortunate. Obviously, poverty like you've never seen anywhere in the United States, and we're trying to reach our goal of feeding 3,000 children food for a year and clean water for life. And how many times have you been to Haiti?
Oh, over 40 times. And wow. In fact, my adventures in Haiti actually put me in the hospital twice. And I'm still involved in Haiti through an organization called JPHRO, which for about 4 years provided housing, medical care, even built a school, et cetera, for 60,000 displaced Haitians who were literally displaced from their communities for 4 years before getting relocated into their communities. So I continue to be involved in that organization in a volunteer way. I'm on the board, and we continue to provide direct assistance to people and to families in Haiti.
Right. And what was it the first time you went to Haiti? What did you think? Was it overwhelming?
Oh, my God. I went to New Orleans after Katrina because I was asked to build the school system in New Orleans. It's the nation's only 100% school choice district. And I thought I had seen destruction, but when I went to Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and you have to understand very quickly, Port-au-Prince, Haiti is really a city in the mountains. And when the earth shakes, the buildings come crashing down because the buildings honeycomb the mountainsides. And you ever see that picture of that famous picture of Hiroshima bomb with that structure standing among the debris?
Yep.
Well, that was Port-au-Prince. Just visualize, think 9/11 only. Practically an entire city. It was the most depressing and horrifying thing I had ever seen. It was just destruction that was unimaginable.
And the Haitians are so appreciative of any of the help that we can give them. They really are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, they've had problems with the government for many, many years, but there are so many organizations out there that are doing extraordinary things, getting relief directly to the Haitians. Let's not forget these people. The Haitian diaspora, or the Haitian immigrants who come here, are the most successful immigrants of African descent. So at the end of the day, they are wonderful people, and anything you can do, and congratulations, and God bless you for staying the course when so many have not.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul Vallis. You have my support. Come, it's coming by. What? How many weeks away are we from the election?
Oh, my God. What are we? Is it 8 weeks?
8 weeks, yeah.
It's like the agony. The agony and the ecstasy.
Well, good luck, and I'm sure we'll have you on again before Election Day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day to you and your listeners.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line. And we want to remind you that if you want to help, if you want to become a business benefactor, which is a one-time donation of $2,500, tax deductible, and as a way of saying thank you, we'll give you 40 60-second commercials to air right here. So if you make the marketing decisions, or if you own a company and you thought, I want to advertise, this is the time to do it. All the money goes to Food for the Poor, and we will give you the 40, 60-second commercials. We'll welcome you to the family. You'll take your level to the next, or your business, I should say, to the next level.
Yeah, you'll take your level to the next business. That's how good we are, because you're going to build your businesses into other businesses.
No, and then like-minded listeners, they'll support you. It'll all be good. Call Ann Jeanette at what number, Bruce?
It's Ann Jeanette Netkowski, to be distinguished from the other Ann Jeanettes in this great multi-level business that is AM 560 The Answer. Call Ann Jeanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
Slots are filling up quickly, so do it today.
Connect-
connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
Hey, real quickly, I want to give kudos to one of my star volleyball players. She was in the Joffrey Ballet Nutcracker. And I have not been. Have you?
Really?
When was the last time you saw the Nutcracker? When was the last time you were at the Joffrey Ballet?
Neither. I don't think I've ever seen.
Have
I
you
love
ever
the
seen
record.
The Nutcracker?
I love Tchaikovsky's records.
No, yeah, have you ever seen the Nutcracker?
I saw
just
a cartoon once of the Waltz of the Sugar Plum Fairies, I know, the Waltz of the Flowers. Yeah.
Here it
I
is.
Know all that, Tchaikovsky.
Well, this.
On the B side is
well, this
the
Nutcracker
Sugar Plum
is. It's set in the 1893 Chicago World's Fair. So it's different than other Nutcrackers. It is beautiful. The set was gorgeous. The dancing was. I mean,
have you ever
I was
seen the
mesmerized.
Goodfellas Nutcracker?
Oh. The who?
Goodfellas?
No.
Nutcracker? Oh, yeah.
So you should see it. It's at the Joffrey Ballet until the
it's
end
not
of the month.
Sugar.
December
Let's put it this
1st
way.
Through December 30th, which we're almost there. But if you want to have fun with your family, and that's that auditorium, I've never been there. Roosevelt Theater?
Oh, the Roosevelt
seats
Theater.
Are great. Because I saw Hamilton at some theater, and that was the worst experience of my life.
I'm waiting
life.
For Hamilton to come to Niles East High School.
That's what, yeah, then you'll
yeah,
see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we're taking a break from Michael Flynn's pending sentencing today and Comey's outburst at Republicans and him calling President Trump a liar. And, of course, the horrible tragedy that happened over here last night with the two Chicago police officers. Because we're going to bring a little...
Talk about the Bears?
No.
Oh,
Super
right.
Bowl, Super Bears. Okay. We did that yesterday. Hey, are sure. those two still engaged, by the way?
Charles the Leno and the future Mrs. Leno Jr.?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
No, I know. I wish them well.
The Bears.
The Bears. There's other things to do in Chicago. Do you know that? I know you don't have children. Well, you do have children. I shouldn't say that, Bruce.
I have grandchildren.
You have grandchildren. How many grandchildren do you have?
Six.
Six. Do any of them live here?
If by here you mean within the state of Illinois.
Yes.
To get out of the clutches of the city of Chicago, which nobody can afford to live in.
Is this going to be a property tax conversation we're going
to
have?
I thought I'd just read to you, just to underscore how bad it is. Some of the property tax rates in the city of Chicago and its environs.
So you can take your grandchildren to a wonderful place. It's the Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest at Navy Pier. And with that, we welcome back to the program Lydia Jordan Peril. Good morning, Lydia. How are you?
Hi, Amy. How's it going? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. We're doing well. And I'm with Bruce. So say hi to him or
Hello.
He'll feel bad.
Hi, Bruce.
He'll feel bad
hi,
for
Lydia.
The rest of the day. So is there, I mean, this is amazing. We were there, I think, last week. It's an annual event for me and Peyton and Eli, my two sons. We always go because it is amazing how you guys can create a Winter Wonder Fest inside of Navy Pier.
It is incredible. I am blown away every year about how gorgeous that space is transformed. And this is our 18th year bringing the Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest back to Navy Pier. And it truly is the best place to get into the holiday spirit. I mean, we've got 170,000 square feet of Winter Wonder Magic, all indoors. So, Bruce, you could escape that Chicago winter indoors right here.
You know what?
Here.
I'd like to see Bruce on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
No.
Or maybe.
No, I get nauseated. No, I get nauseated looking at people on the Tilt-A-Whirl. But let me ask you this, Lydia. I noticed this thing. It says family six-pack, and I'm so flabby right now. If you can give me a six-pack right now. So there's no... You know,
well, you know, Santa's there, so you might be able to ask him. He might be able to hook you up with a
sure.
six-pack.
And you know what? If you stand next to Santa, he'll make you feel thin. Right, Bruce?
Oh, thanks a lot. But you get six tickets to Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderland Fest.
There are all yeah. sorts of ticket packages yeah. available on NavyPier.org. And once you're inside, you have access to all these events, all these activities and attractions, including, indoor ice skating.
That's
and skate
amazing.
Rentals included in that. And all the rides. And it really is
you know,
something for everyone.
I want to see Bruce down the toboggan.
Again, there's no way. I couldn't
no,
even
just
watch.
It's a straight shot. You climb up and there's
yeah,
an inner tube.
I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights as well.
You just walk up
well,
and you just slide down.
I can't even look.
Well,
I can't,
you know,
yeah, go ahead.
For Heights, you know, each ticket also gets you a ride on the Centennial Wheel, our Ferris wheel, which is a year-round attraction, and it's enclosed and heated. And I'm afraid of heights, too, but I can do the Centennial Wheel. It's a
no, I can't do that.
Wait, either. I did not know that. I should have taken part in this. If you get a ticket to Winter Wonderland, you can ride that Ferris wheel?
Yes. Yes, and I believe the tickets are
with the
good,
outdoor Ferris wheel.
Yeah, it's
you'll
beautiful.
Die of frostbite.
No, it's indoors.
Frostbite.
It's, they're new now. They had this huge renovation.
Indoor.
Wasn't it over the summer, Lydia?
What if you hit the ceiling?
That's right.
Will you hit the ceiling? How much clearance is there between the top of the Ferris wheel and the ceiling of the building?
I think you'll be okay. You guys are going to have to come out and check out the
all
rest
right.
of the pier because, yes, the new Centennial Wheel is a wonderful ride. It's smooth. It's all enclosed. Perfect for a nice winter day. You'll be nice and cozy inside.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lydia. So how do we get more information about the Winter Wonderfest?
Call up Lydia now. Let's talk to her.
You can call me up. You can check us out at www.navypier.org for more information on all that's available at the Fifth Third Banquet.
And then how long is it up and running, Winter Wonderfest?
We are running through January 6th.
Great. So all the moms, because we have a lot of time on our hands for the next 2 weeks. So thank you so much, Lydia.
Thank
we appreciate
you, Lydia.
It as always.
Thank you so much for having me.
And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Get your deplorable little face up next to the radio or your phone, iPad, computer, smart speaker, or filling in your mouth that somehow picks up this frequency. Because it's time for America's favorite tribute rip-off radio program, Animal Stories. And now, here in person, is the rip-off Animal Stories news team anchor man, woman, human, or whatever pronoun they go by, Dan Proft.
Ooh.
And Amy Jacobson.
And this is the fifth anniversary of the death of Larry Luchak.
Oh, that's right.
And by the way, this might be considered a ripoff of a ripoff because Dan and I did, because we were on WLS, we did Animal Stories, and he was Little Danny. But now he's graduated to be, and what are you,
and
Little Amy?
I'm Little Amy.
Yeah, there we go. And someday you'll have a, you can call me Little Brucey. It's a well, whole circular thing, right?
I think right now I could call you Little Brucey. Oh, just kidding. Well, this is a great story because,
ouch.
I mean, it's not a great story, but I like how it ends. There's a guy in Missouri. His name is David Berry Jr., and he did something really bad. He was killing deers. He was poaching to the tune of hundreds of them. It was the worst case of poaching case they've seen in state history in Missouri. And what he would do, and this makes me so mad, he would lop off the head of a deer and leave the body to rot. Now, is that a deer? I don't think that's a deer. Zombie.
That's like a loon.
I mean,
so oh, he's like, a loon.
Yeah. And, because, I mean, honestly, because you can. And
Uncle
working,
Amy, he's a loon.
He was working with other people in his family. They've all been busted, have had to pay a fine of $51,000. David Berry sentenced to jail for a year.
That's murder. I mean, that's murder.
Well, I mean,
that's
can you imagine
than
how
the
grotesque-
murder of the Weekly Standard.
No, you know how grotesque it is to have just hundreds of beheaded deer scattered in this one county in Missouri? They were looking at this serial deer killer, a poacher. So, but you could use that venison to feed a family. There's a lot of stuff you could
do
with venison.
Put those heads, you know, in your den. Just don't
only
leave them
10
out
pointers.
There.
Only 10-pointers. I know, it was bad.
Right, they're probably.
So the judge took it one step further, and once a month, he has to watch the movie Bambi.
Is that the Bambi music?
This was one
not
of the
one
first.
Of Walt's better orchestration.
Mrs. Merrim, Sarah Merrim's mom, took me to see Bambi when I was in first grade. And I could not stop crying. I ran home and I hugged my mom so hard. We were at the Mount Prospect Ranchhurst Cinema. I'll never forget it. But he's forced to watch this movie. Don't make me cry, Bruce Wolf. You're making me cry.
What happened? Don't. Spoiler alert. What happens to Bambi's mother?
Well, in.
Oh, that's it.
Well, she doesn't. Thank you. Gosh, Justin.
Boom, shakalaka.
She doesn't get killed on screen. The death.
Oh, really? It's an offstage thing. It's very Shakespearean.
The hunter kills her off screen, and Bambi, oh, I'm going to cry. She's searching for her mom.
Oh, right. Mother!
Your mother can't be with you anymore. Come, my son.
Oh, Bambi's a boy. Act like a man.
I'm literally crying.
Shake it off,
kid. I'm literally crying. Oh, you stop it. Wait.
Took out all the 20 of them that he took out.
I asked Justin to pull the Bambi movie, and I'm like, not Bambi, the stripper.
Or Doug Flutie. Good old number two.
Bambi.
Bambi.
Okay. That's a little aggressive, honestly.
Really?
But also, too, I didn't
hold your fire.
Bruce, like you, I thought Bambi was a girl.
I thought Bambi was a girl. Like Barbie, you know. Because no male deer acts like that.
No, it's
shakes
a little,
it off.
It's a baby Bambi right. deer. I don't know how people go hunting. 312-642-5600. Is our turnkey debt pro answer line.
How do you kill a deer? You do it the humane way.
64636. Right. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Have you ever been deer hunting?
Just to hear the sound of a shot. When a car backfires, I say, oh, there goes another deer. Yeah.
No, I could never, ever.
When I'm jogging,
kill an animal.
When
I'm jogging, never do it.
I jog in a forest.
I don't even understand these big game hunters.
I jog in a forest preserve.
Call us up, tell
and
me.
I see it like a deer running by. You know, I stop in my tracks because I think they're going to attack me.
They're not going to attack you. You leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. Now, driving's a different thing. I do understand why there's deer hunting season.
Sure.
Because
gotta call the herd.
Yeah, because they will. I mean, they could kill you. Not only total your car, but you could die if you hit a Bambi. But anyway, I'm seriously crying.
You're an emotional sort, aren't you?
I am.
Well, you're worried about Flynn getting sentenced to six months.
You know, exactly.
I promise you, it's going to be zero. The over-under is zero on Mike Flynn today.
Only with Bruce Wolf you go from talking about Bambi to Michael Flynn.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
All right. Interesting selection of music, but hey, Bad Boys.
That's Christmas to me.
That's
for the Bambi.
Oh,
it's Bambi.
Oh, because they arrested the guy who killed a bunch of Bambis. All right, I understand.
And you had that deer in the headlights look at this music.
I did. We're just crying over Bambi. We are focusing our energy this holiday season on helping those less fortunate. Do you know 1 in 14 children do not live to see their fifth birthday in Haiti? And we had Todd Chapman on. He works for Food for the Poor. And he said that at their clinic, they have a main clinic where they doctors see children, give them immunizations and things. He said that they don't even name their babies because they're afraid they're going to pass away. So it's a form. It's like a defense mechanism. But Food for the Poor, 95% of every dollar donated goes directly to helping the people. And they build the infrastructure. And they provide clean water for life. Here's Todd Chapman. Okay. Let's try him again. And there's no Todd Chapman. But basically what they do is they build these houses. And they do it within days. I mean, the donations that we received last year, they were put to use immediately, and new homes, Bruce, were built within 28 days.
That's great.
It is just amazing. So if you could help out, we'd be very much appreciative.
It's a long-term project. It's a long-term effort. It's interesting, 2 years ago when Amy and the team went to Savan Kabrit, that community that you visited, the community where mothers called the water source the gutter. Now, we have a term when we call, when we say the gutter here, and it's the lowest of lows. But this is where people basically obtain water to drink, water to cook with, water to bathe their small children. Now, because of the efforts and the results from Chicagoland listeners to the AM560 campaign with Food for the Poor, that community has completely transformed. There are families that have been literally upended from their poverty into a place that they could only dream of. Children whose families, who basically in their family, rather, didn't eat every single day. And now, because Food for the Poor and AM560 donors and listeners to this campaign, just in the last couple of years, have transformed that community long term and self-sustainability.
So if you'd like to help out, please call 844-862-HOPE. That's 844-862-HOPE.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
A very somber morning here in Chicago. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. Bruce Wolf sitting in for Dan Proft. And two Chicago police officers. We are mourning. They were the death yesterday of those two police officers around 6 p.m. They responded to a call of shots fired in the Rosemore neighborhood, and the officers chased a suspect who had a gun, and they chased him up the train tracks at 103rd and Cottage Grove, and that's where they were both fatally struck by an eastbound South Shoreline train bound for Indiana. Eddie Johnson, the superintendent.
By doing the most dangerous thing any police officer can do, and that is to chase an individual with a gun. These brave young men were consumed with identifying a potential threat to their community and put the safety of others above their own. Unfortunately, when we swear that oath, put on that uniform, we know that's a possibility.
And the officers have been identified as 37-year-old Eduardo Marmolejo, father of three, has been with the department for 2 years, and 31-year-old Conrad Gary. He is the father of an infant, and he's been on the force for 18 months. And during this time of just horrific tragedy and profound sadness, the 100 Club provides for the families of first responders who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And with that, we'd like to welcome the CEO and president of the 100 Club, Joe Ahern, back to our airways. Good morning, Mr. Ahern. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Bruce. Thank you for having me on.
So today, and when this happens, you get the phone call, and how do you spring into action? What do you do today to help the family members?
Well, I went down to 101st and Dauphine, where the crime scene occurred, and then back to headquarters, and now I'm over at District 5, met with the commander to just express the condolences from the 100 Club and from all of us, and that we're representing literally millions of people here in the Chicago area that are mourning the loss of these two police officers. This is, the fifth fatality that they've had in District 5, and sadly we had Commander Bauer, and we just recently had Police Officer Jimenez, who we buried just a couple weeks ago, and it is just unimaginable that we're having this tragedy now end of the year, we're facing Christmas next week, and we're going to meet with these families hopefully either today or tomorrow, or I'm going to work with the Chicago Police Department Special Services to coordinate with them and to meet with the family to help provide some financial support and counseling and legal support, whatever we can do. That's our mission. And, Amy, sadly, we've got 30 kids in college right now. We provide financial assistance and then college education for the children, but we have 30 kids in college right now that are all sons and daughters of police officers and firefighters that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And but these poor children that are left behind, we have 76 kids, sons and daughters, that will be able to provide college education for in the future, thanks to the support of people that really appreciate and respect our police officers and firefighters and for all they do to save lives and protect our city.
What is it like talking to a family that's just lost an officer in this way?
It's it is an emotional roller coaster, Bruce. It's unimaginably sad. I always say a prayer before I walk in and ask for some divine guidance from God to be able to say the right thing, because This is the most horrific day in the life of this family, and how do you you know, express your condolences to them? But most importantly, I let them know that I'm there representing literally millions of people whose hearts are pouring out in mourning for their loss and for their sacrifice, and that will be with them forever to help them. Just last Sunday, a week ago, we were at I was at the street dedication for police officer Mike Flisk, who tragically was shot and killed the day after Thanksgiving 2010, 8 years ago. And here we are, you know, a week later, and with this another tragedy of two police officers, and that, you know, we'll be going through this process again. And, you know, Mike Fliss has had had three sons and a daughter. Brian just got on the police academy November 27th. We sent him to college. He went to Ambrose University with a scholarship from the 100 Club and got a degree in criminal justice, and joined the police academy like his dad. And his brother, Michael John's a firefighter, and Peg is a prosecutor. These are great American families, and sadly, it just keeps on happening time and time again. But thank God we have people that support our mission, that we can continue to help these families.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, you know, before we end this interview, ways people can help. But you said you were at the 5th District. What are you hearing about Officers Marmolejo and Conrad Gary?
Well, first, you know, these are two young men. They've been on the force, both of them, less than, 3 years, one 2.5 years and one a year. And everybody's in shock. And you can imagine this 5th District has just experienced a profound loss over the last, this last year, and meeting with the commander. He's obviously trying to provide support for these men and women that continue to serve us. It's tough. There's no place to turn. You know, there's no book that you can turn to, perhaps other than your Bible, to give you some advice and counseling about the right thing to do. This is very, very difficult for this police department.
Yeah, and since it has been such an immensely difficult year for the Chicago Police Department and, you know, and the 100 Club, you guys are here to, as you mentioned, provide counseling, to help with funeral costs, and more importantly, to put these kids through college, to see that they're still part of the family years from now. How can people help the 100 Club, and where can we make donations?
Well, Amy, they could go to the 100clubchicago.org and follow the prompts and to make a donation. And we would greatly appreciate that, because it allows us to continue to do our support for these families. And then even more importantly is if you see a police officer or a firefighter today and these next couple weeks and in the future, they go up and thank them for their service. They don't hear it enough. They just don't hear it enough. And let them know that, if it wasn't for you and your sacrifice, the commitment that you make to protect all of us, just think where we would be in this community. So I urge everyone to, support our police officers or our firefighters. And if you can find a way to make a donation to the 100 Club, we'd also greatly appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much. And Godspeed. God bless you and the work that you're doing. CEO Joe Ahern of the 100 Club. And to make a donation, you can go to the 100clubchicago.org. Thank you so much, Mr. Ahern.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Amy.
He joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
The show's weighing heavy on my heart today, huh?
Yeah.
Another person who's a little heavy on the heart is Michael Flynn, former national security advisor to President Trump, is going to be sentenced.
You taking the over?
He's facing 0 to 6 months in prison.
He's going to get zero. He may even get negative time. They may throw the prosecutors in jail.
He did, well, he did cooperate. He has been interviewed 19 times by Robert Mueller and the special counsel. But we're learning more about his interview that happened because Mueller released a memo summarizing
the 302
FBI's interview with Michael Flynn. They apparently went to the White House to interview him. And guess who he was interviewed by? None other than former FBI agent Peter Strzok. He participated in the Flynn interview. The fact that Flynn was not warned he could be prosecuted for lying and he had no lawyer in the room, that doesn't sit well with me. And also, there were yes and no questions that he was answering.
Isn't it fascinating that Peter Strzok is involved in everything? The Hillary thing, this thing, everything. It's like the FBI has only, it's like the FBI TV show.
Right.
It's like Efren Zimblist is involved in every single thing.
We know where Peter Strzok stands politically. He is an anti-Trumper. He and his lover, Page, right, Lisa Page, they wanted Hillary Clinton in the White House. So I just think that this is a witch hunt. I think Fox News is on to something.
Ainsley, here's the biggest question of all for Comey. Why the heck was Mike Flynn interviewed in the first place? You know, I want to show you something here. This is on my phone. This is a screenshot of a Washington Post article the day before Mike Flynn was interviewed at the White House. Mm-hmm. Let me read the title of the article for you. FBI reviewed Flynn's calls with Russian ambassador, but found nothing illicit. There it is right there. So the FBI, the day before they interview Flynn, for what, a Logan Act violation? That's not even serious. It's never been successfully charged in the history of the United States.
But they were going for the Logan Act violation, Brian.
The day before, there was nothing illicit.
They were going for...
Why were you interviewing Mike Flynn?
I'm not on TV.
Now what was your point, Bruce?
No, but that's what they were going for. The Logan Act violation, which is bupkis. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's no such thing as the Logan Act violation. They were trying to find a way to get him.
Right. And they forced him into lying.
Comey was supposed to tell POTUS, that's what I call the President of the United States, they were supposed to tell him, hey, you got a guy who's a risk here. Comey doesn't tell him that because they're trying to trap the president. They're trying to trap Flynn. Yeah, I get it. They got a Steele dossier that, you know, Comey says, oh, they keep asking me about that again and again. Yeah,
lied about how many times he met with the Russian ambassador.
Since they already have... And
Kislyak.
Since they already know what he said to Kislyak, who was a big friend of the Obama administration, by the way, so maybe he's part of the whole deal. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but it smells. I smell a rat, and the rat isn't just Michael Cohen.
Don't you think that it's at least possible that Flynn may have taken this plea because he was being bullied financially,
absolutely,
because he was afraid his family would be prosecuted, and he may have had legitimately misremembered his conversation? He knew the FBI had transcripts. This is not a stupid guy. This is an American patriot. This is a hero
head
here.
Of the DIA.
A guy who understands intel.
Well, this memo that was released, they say the second lie, as described by the FBI, came in response to the agents asking him about the U.S. expulsion of Russian diplomats or closing Russian properties following the Kremlin's interference in the 2016 election. Bruce, are you following along?
Yeah, I'm following
along.
They
asked him if they encouraged Kislyak not to retaliate.
Right. Look, there were three
and
separate...
And Flynn responded, no, not really.
These memos are called 302s.
Yeah.
And there's lots of questions about how those were prepared. They're supposed to be prepared. Like the Hillary 302 was like... the minute after the interview with Hillary. They got three different versions of these 302s. It's like 302 Monty that they got. You know, pick a 302. And they hid this from the judge. The judge was pretty upset about all this. So it just goes on and on down the rabbit hole. And I think, you know, today he'll get zero. I just want to see if there's going to be some reprimand for the prosecutor. That's what I want to see.
What do you think should happen to the prosecutor?
Should be hanged by the thumbs.
No. No, I think this is overzealous prosecution.
They didn't tell him that he had a right. Now, it's not like a Miranda warning because this wasn't a custodial interview.
Yeah, what is it?
When you've got a criminal, you say you have the right to remain silent, you have the right to an attorney.
Right.
This wasn't
anything
that.
You
but
say
you
can be used against you
in
a court of law.
The thing is that a lot of times these guys in government mingle with the FBI. It's not like when somebody wrote the FBI comes to your business. Oh, all of a sudden you realize you're under FBI.
My neighbor's an FBI agent. We mingle all the time.
You think that you're under investigation if the FBI comes to your door.
Right.
If you're in the regular real world, if you're in Washington where everybody's hobnobbing all the time, and then the FBI guy says, oh, you don't really need an attorney in here. This is a counterintelligence thing that we're doing. Yeah, then you're seduced into it. So, yeah, you're not entitled to a Miranda warning, but you certainly were entitled to be told, you're the target.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Yes, AM 560 The Answer, Food for the Poor Campaign 2018.
Woo-hoo.
This year we're partnering with Food for the Poor to help raise money to provide food and water for children and families in Haiti. It's the 10th year we've done a Christmas campaign like this. The campaign's been very successful. We expect another great effort this year.
And we can only do it with support from our lovely listeners like yourselves. And really, we've relied on you every holiday season to help us. But we're really getting close to the finish line, but we're not quite there. And the best deal is if you own a business or are the marketing director for your company, you can become a business benefactor. And what does that mean, Bruce?
Well, I'll tell you.
You know what?
What you need to do
is peruse through that pamphlet there and you tell us.
It's a special program for business owners or anyone involved in marketing a business called the Business Benefactor Program. With the program, any business that makes a $2,500 tax-deductible donation to Food for the Poor will receive 60-second commercials Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. on AM 560 The Answer. For a business that wants to be involved in the program, here's how you do it. You call sales manager Anjanette Netkowski directly at 847-472-8951. That's 847-472-8951 and ask for the Business Benefactor Program.
All right. And do it today, sooner rather than later, because slots are filling up quickly.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
So real quick before we get to our next guest, we want to talk about illegal hunting. That hunter who killed, well, he was a poaching guy. He had the worst poaching case in the state of Missouri. Sentenced to a year in jail and forced to watch the movie Bambi once a month.
Like many, many deer and just left their heads on
the
ground.
Well, yeah, he took the heads and left the corpse there to rot, or the body.
Oh, he took the heads.
He took the heads and left the rest to rot.
That could have
on
been venison for, you know, a family.
It could have fed a village, a small village in Haiti. But Edward wanted to join us real quickly to tell us why people hunt, because I am not a hunter. You definitely, Bruce, are not a hunter. But guess who's hunting right now? I do believe our friend Dan Proft.
Mr. Machismo.
Hunting pheasant. Yes. Somewhere in Georgia, maybe?
In my country, pheasant hunt you.
Yes. Edward, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good, Amy. How are you?
Good. So why do you hunt, besides to eat food?
Well, first I want to say, you know, I met you once at Uncommon Ground over by the ballpark about 10 years ago. And people should realize that have never seen you or met you how beautiful you are and how intelligent you
are. Sounds like you're doing a little hunting right now, Edward. I think you're on the prowl, my man. Yeah, you got her in your sights.
You know, my middle name is Bambi, too. How rare. No, I'm kidding. Well, thank you. That's very sweet of you, Edward.
Oh, my.
So what do you hunt?
Thank you. Mostly whitetail, but, you know, rabbits.
Well, that's Amy. All right, go ahead, Edward.
Yeah.
Hi-oh.
Ba-doom-boom. This conversation.
No, so seriously, it's a pretty simple answer on why we hunt. Have you, and actually I figured this out, we were sitting around at deer camp. There's 10 grown men staring at a campfire, and, you know, you could almost see us drooling because you get so mesmerized, and you guys have probably been there as well. But you start watching the fire, and the next thing you know, it's an hour's passed, and nobody said anything. So we kind of formulated that's a thing called caveman TV. And for thousands and tens of thousands of generations, people have been sitting around watching campfires. And so it gets into your blood. That's what you used to do before TV. So
that's
why, you know, when you get away from the TV and you sit in front of a fire, you're mesmerized. But
and then you put war paint on and everything like that.
This is instead fantastic.
Of making, what I, you know what I think of when I see a campfire? I think, let's make s'mores. Okay, Edward. I think let's make some s'mores. Okay. I don't think let's go kill a deer.
Okay, well,
you
bear
go
with
tell
me.
Me.
Bear with me.
I am.
Bear with me, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So my parents grew up in central Indiana. I live in northern Indiana now, but come to the city and work every day. But for thousands of generations, our subsistence was food. You know, we'd go out and hunt our food. So both my dad and my grandmother had to have lead shot removed from their guts because they ate so much wild game to live on.
You don't take the bullets out of the food when you kill it?
No, sometimes they get lodged in there somewhere. You try to. You can't do it.
Yeah, you try to, but the shot will actually, you miss it sometimes. You bite down on it.
Pheasant has kind of a metallic flavor to it. Yes.
All right, well, Edward, thank you so much for sharing your story. We appreciate it.
I don't think
tens of thousands of generations, and now we're just one generation removed from that, so that's why I sit in the woods all the time.
All right. Well, Edward, thank you so much.
Welcome to civilization, Edward, and you speak the language well. I appreciate it.
thank you.
And thank you for calling.
Me want to kill deer.
Oh, that was great. That's why I love our listeners. They never stop, informing and entertaining.
And he's
at the
good
same
humored
time.
Because he could have put me right in his sights.
All right. Now, I know you don't. Or do you celebrate Christmas?
Somebody once asked me on television.
Wait,
asked me if Jews celebrated Thanksgiving. Okay.
Are you serious?
Well, we have nothing to be thankful for. No, we would never. No, yes.
Well, Hanukkah's come and gone, right?
We do not celebrate Christmas.
Well, my aunt's Jewish, and they still have a Christmas tree.
Of course, because they're trying to square the circle. I get it. They're not happy getting the Ten Commandments. So we want more. We want a savior. Okay. Greedy.
But regardless, do you holiday shop? Because Christmas is just a week away. Yes. And will our packages make it to their destinations on time? With more of that and how you can save money this holiday season, let's welcome back to the program John Haber. He's founder and CEO of Spend Management Experts. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So this obviously is the busiest time of year for retailers and for places like UPS, correct, and FedEx?
It's the busiest time of the year.
Well, is there a chance? So when do we have to get our packages out in order for them to be received before Christmas?
At this point, you're going to need to ship them air rather than ground shipping in order to get it guaranteed in most cases for delivery before Christmas. That's the safest thing to do with the influx of orders coming in and just the tremendous amount of volumes. Most people are going to be shipping stuff out via two-day air or next-day air just to make sure stuff is there by Friday.
Wow. And what do you think, with all this, you've got FedEx and Walmart, they're trying to match Amazon. Don't they use UPS to ship some of their products, or do they have their own company that's shipping products?
Amazon is UPS's largest customer, so they use UPS for a lot of shipments. They also use the post office, and the post office's largest customer. But Amazon also has their own delivery fleet, and I've seen their own. They've got their own Sprinter trucks, and they've been all over the place. I've seen them all over my neighborhood for the last couple of weeks.
John, this may be a little from left field, but I couldn't help asking this question. It came to my head.
Oh, I'm
so scared. About the fleets and everything like that. Is it true that UPS trucks never make left turns? Did you ever hear that? They never make a left turn. They figure out routes that will just, it's shorter that way.
UPS has a technology that they've developed called Orion, and it is a driver routing system, and they take as few left turns as possible. Most places you can turn right on red, and UPS is measured, they do time studies down to the minutiae, down to the seconds, and any amount of time that they can save and make their drivers more efficient saves them a tremendous amount of money. So, yes, they do have technology that has the drivers avoiding making left turns.
All right, now tell us about their parking lots.
Because what are you talking about?
No, seriously, their parking lots for UPS maximize all the parking spaces. There's a way to do that. It's not like some dumb shopping mall where they have it. Did you know about that, John?
I think
or is
we
that
might
like
be
advanced?
Putting him on the spot.
He knew the left turn answer.
I'm going broke on this.
Let's talk about parking. What do you know?
I can tell you everything that each employee in the operations, whether they're parking a truck, whether they're unloading a package, whether they're loading a package car, whether they are starting the ignition of a car, there is training on how to do that the most efficient and effective way, and so it's all true.
Wow. All right. Speaking of Amazon, HQ2, we are very sad. We just recently heard that we were really on the short list to get H2Q here in Chicago. Why do you think we were passed over besides the property taxes? Or maybe
taxes. I do believe that you guys were in the top five. When it boils down to it, you know, I think Chicago had a very competitive offer, almost $2.5 billion in tax breaks. Wow. I think potentially, you know, the weather may have had something to do with it. I think they may have wanted to be further to the East Coast. You've got strategically for Amazon to be in the Washington D.C. area with the amount of lobbying they're doing and their influence with the Washington Post. Bezos has a house there. Bezos has a house up in New York City. He's got houses in a lot of different places. But I think when you look at those two cities, and they just boil down to there was a couple more checks on the criteria that they were looking for that pushed those two locations over the top, over and above Chicago. But Chicago, we didn't have Chicago really in the top. I didn't have them in my top five until the very, you know, towards the end, and they really made up some ground. But unfortunately, or fortunately for some people, not everybody wants Amazon in their town. They didn't select Chicago.
Well, at least we got the 2016 Olympics. Wait a minute, we didn't get that either.
It's too soon.
Remember Mayor Daley sitting there? And we didn't even make it past the first round.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Man. All right, so let's talk about brick-and-mortar stores, because I keep hearing that they're going to go away. Everyone says that we're all going to be ordering things online, because I'm not a big online shopper. Excuse me, and I finally ordered something from Amazon. Don't look at me that way, Bruce. Yeah. And I don't like what I ordered. I mean, and then to ship it back, it's a pain in the butt. I like to go into an actual store and see what I'm buying.
Yeah, you like to find a parking space and walk around and deal with the riffraff and everything with their tattoos.
No, I go at times where, you know, not non-peak shopping hours. But honestly, do you think brick-and-mortar stores are going to go away?
I do not think brick-and-mortar stores are going to go away. I think you're going to see smaller footprints on brick-and-mortar stores. the huge Sears stores. They've become, you know, and Toys R Us ran into this problem where they became more real estate holding companies than brick-and-mortar retail stores. So I think you already see it with Macy's putting in smaller retail brick-and-mortar stores, and I think you're going to see that trend and not a trend of no brick-and-mortar.
Yeah, and yet there are these humongous stores. Like that one, you know, what is Wood something? I forgot what it's called.
Woodfield.
No, not Woodfield. Woodman's, I think it is. Ever heard? They go on forever, and they have everything in them. They're still that goes counter to the trend.
You mean Big Lots? What are you talking?
John knows what I'm talking about.
John, do you know what Bruce is talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you look at some of these stores, and they're just massive, and the amount of inventory that they have on hand. You're just not creating enough foot traffic to turn over the inventory nearly fast enough. But, I mean, Amazon is actually going to some brick-and-mortar stores. You know, they're opening some brick-and-mortar locations. So, you know, while they were all e-commerce, they're actually moving into brick-and-mortar. So, but just with a smaller footprint. In fact, a Whole Foods 365 just opened up around the corner from us last week. Which is just a smaller footprint of the overall Whole Foods store.
You know what we call Whole Foods?
Whole paycheck?
Yeah. That's what we do. That's why I rarely go there, because I'm watching every penny. All right, well, are there any holiday season trends that you can recommend or that you're watching and noticing right now?
Yeah, what we've been watching is just how much of the shopping is now done with mobile devices.
Oh.
That percentage is increasing drastically. We're also seeing a trend with retailers with shipping from stores rather than from distribution centers. That's a big trend to try to reduce cost and get the product to the consumer faster. And we're also seeing a lot of pickup in from store, where you buy online and then you can go pick up on from the store. And they're very attractive deals when you do that as well. So those are a few of the trends that we're seeing so far this year.
And that's actually something that I've done this year. I ordered something on Walmart, some toys for some kids. I sponsored a family and then went into pickup. And that Walmart's a very fascinating place. Have you ever been to Walmart on Diversity there? Bruce, have you been there?
No, I can't afford to be in the city of Chicago itself, but I've been into Walmart.
But it's very fascinating. I mean, that
yeah.
You're right. That is a big trend this yeah. year. So, all right, John Haber, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
and
it.
And for putting up with me. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you, Mr.
Hey, thanks for having me on as okay. usual. You guys enjoy the holidays and be safe.
You too. Blessings. And he's the founder and CEO of Spend Management Experts, and he joined us on our Turnkey Pro answer line.
This is the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's morning answer on AM 560. The answer.
All right, Republicans and Democrats separated by a wall. Government funding. Of course, President Trump wants $5 billion for his wall. Democrats aren't offering that. It's a possible government shutdown.
It's a government shutdown.
Justin always delivers with his government shutdown. But the strange thing is, I mean, I know we joke around about it, but 400,000 workers could be placed on furlough, which means they won't get their paychecks time for Christmas.
But get this. They what? Will get their paychecks.
I know, but...
Yeah, so what?
Because some of us,
they should
Bruce,
build that into their schedule.
Paycheck to paycheck, Bruce.
If you're a government worker and you got a pension like they do and guaranteed employment for life...
Oh, just borrow money from your neighbors, Bruce? Oh.
So delay Christmas. Bah, humbug.
Oh, really? So you're the Grinch. But even some Republican lawmakers, like Ms. Senator Kennedy... He doesn't know what's going on with the government shutdown.
Well, I don't know. We're waiting on instructions from the White House.
Yeah, so no one really knows.
I still
what's
can't
going
get
on.
Over a Senator Kennedy with an accent like that. To me, a Senator Kennedy sounds like this: "When I returned, the car and Mary Jo were gone." Not like that.
Did you see the movie Chappaquiddick? By the way,
I read the book.
Oh, it's good.
You know, I lived it.
All the,
you know, I understand it's pretty good, pretty darn good.
No, it's really
even-handed,
yeah.
at least. Yeah, Teddy does not come out that.
No,
that
he doesn't
good.
Look good.
Yeah.
No. Oh, but also, who doesn't look good is Chuck Schumer.
There are not the votes for the wall in the House or the Senate. He is not going to get the wall in any form.
Now, Selena Zito, who was on a little bit earlier, said she expects a shutdown, and I would think that there might be a shot at it because everybody always talks about the political fallout. Well, where's the political fallout? We just had an election. We're not going to have another election for 2 years. So if you can't afford to have a shutdown now, Republicans, you're never going to have a shutdown.
Do you think Trump will do it, though? I think he's going to kind of compromise or address this issue in January.
Well,
kick the can down the road,
there's
so
talk about that. There's also talk that they're seeking a legal opinion as to whether they can borrow or take $3 billion from the Pentagon budget and use it for that to add to the $1.5 billion. This originally started as a $25 billion exercise. Now we're getting down to peanuts here.
And whatever happened with Mexico paying for the wall.
Yeah, it originally started with that, too. So, yeah, Trump's got to show the base, which I'm kind of a part of. I mean, I did vote for him, and I'll vote for him again. You got to show that he means something. I don't know how much you need the wall, what you need. Mark Krikorian had the best idea from NR. You know, he said, well, why don't you put the ball in the Democrats' court, say, oh, we'll take the money that we were going to use for the wall and let's use it to enforce E-Verify and then get the Democrats on the side of wanting illegals to work in this country and let's see how much political capital they expend on that.
Well, there's certain parts of the wall that I didn't think needed to be built, but I was proven wrong because that 7-year-old girl who died in Border Patrol custody, she came through in a part that I never thought people would cross over, and that's near Lordsburg, New Mexico,
sure.
which is the middle of nowhere. So there is now a reason to put up a wall, if anything, to deter people from trying to come to this country and in doing so, harming their children. Thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Thanks to Justin Kosick, our technical producer, Quinn McCarthy, our associate producer, and Keith Conrad, our executive producer. And Bruce, thank you.
Thank you.
For sitting in once again for Dan Proft. We have to work on our song for Friday, okay? That's your homework assignment for tonight.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.